Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
That was Patriots' number one wide receiver, Stephon Diggs, who, by the way, has had his arraignment bumped back to February. So would seem that would indicate that he'll be available to the Patriots through whatever playoff run, not going to land on any commissioner's exempt list. Yes, Dan Ball?
The specific date is the 13th, which is a couple days after the Super Bowl, so he will be available pretty much no matter what. Hi, Lily.
What about the parade?
Hey, Lily.
What if he has to miss the parade to be arraigned?
Well, the judge is a Pats fan.
Yeah, they'll bump it back again. Right.
I'm sure Richard Berman will be able to get involved and help us out again.
Also, another note out of the West Coast, Amarian Hampton has said he's looking forward to his first game, certainly saying that he's going to play the running back who's been missing time with an ankle injury and is questionable. Sounds like he'll be on the field.
Regarding Steph Diggs, is there been ever a time you can think of where two big stories drop back-to-back days and feels like had zero or little to no real impact on, I don't know, the preparation, the team, the psyche, any of that?
Nothing. It didn't resonate. It was like you dropped a rock in the pond, but no waves went out.
Right.
It just dropped and moved on. And
perfect.
It's crazy that that happened. But again, who do I give credit for that to? It's got to be Vrabel, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Does it make accusations versus, right, the being actually arrested? I don't know.
I don't know. Back-to-back days, like, leading up to the – it just – yeah. It was amazing. That felt like one of those things. I always say this, like, some teams lose an offensive lineman and the whole thing falls apart. Some teams put a backup in and they just keep rolling on. That's what the Patriots did with that. No distractions here. We're moving on.
I think they got kind of lucky, though, too, like the timing. Like, it was the holiday. People were off.
Holiday and the teams that they were playing, the importance of the games.
Right. I don't know. They did a good job with it, even though we questioned a little bit the way Mike said, not disappointed at all when he was first asked about it, was a little curious, but they've moved on. Now it's time to play some playoff football with your best players on the field and Christian Barmore and Stephon Diggs. Real quick on that comment that he said about Drake needs to be a little meaner. Have you noticed that's a trend? Even Drake has brought it up. Remember a couple weeks ago we were talking to him about the refs, and he's like, at some point in my career, they might see my dark side, and I might start to get on them.
Yeah.
And he has even talked about, at some point, I'll probably yell at the receivers a little more as I get a little older.
Dude, he's got a plan. Why are we worried about it?
Right.
You know? Like, we're sitting here. I was tripping about a lot of things last year. It's like, why was I tripping, man?
Yeah.
Like he's got it all under control. He's letting us see who he is little by little, not all at once. He's teasing us with who he is, and so he's got a plan. Don't worry about it.
And it's sort of a natural evolution, right? It's the young guy. Like, right now, if he yells at Steph Diggs, even if Steph Diggs kind of wants him to, not sure it goes well.
He knows he hasn't earned that yet.
In 3 years, when he's 27 or he's 28 and he's yelling at some receiver,
I mean, it is the two-time MVP, and he does have a Super Bowl ring, and like, you know.
And that's where the respect comes, man,
Absolutely. Is
when you start getting those trophies on your mantle.
I really like that point you made. He knows he hasn't earned it yet. There's a pecking order, and he's got to validate being a guy that barks at them and gives them attitude, not just the quarterback.
All right, we're having some connection issues with Fitzy. We'll try to reset that, get him back in here. But we don't need him right now anyway, because it's time for the build-up. It is time for Ted Johnson to tell me the most important matchups and factors that are going to take place Sunday night playoff football. So, Ted, the floor is yours.
Okay. All right. We'll just hit a couple of the big points in this. But first, let's just focus on kind of what the Chargers are going to do on offense, right? So the Chargers have a good running game. It's not a great running game, but a good running game. But they have an excellent offensive coordinator in Greg Roman when it comes to, in particular, designing run plays. The Chargers are the number one ranked offense in the running game to perimeter runs. And you go, well, Ted, didn't they lose two of their starters? They did. They're on the offensive line. Their tackles, both tackles, have been hurt. Everybody's been talking about it all week long. But they still do a great job of scheming perimeter runs, pulling tackles, pulling centers. It's an advanced run scheme, and I saw it when he was the offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, in the 49ers, when he was also the offensive coordinator with the Baltimore Ravens. And in both cases, he had mobile quarterbacks that he would use in the running game. And so I think he's basically given his quarterback, Justin Herbert, the green light to run the football. So just watch perimeter runs that the outside linebackers, Clavon, Chaisson, Harold Landry, Anthony Jennings are going to have. I think probably one of the biggest jobs, I think the most important job on the field in this game is for the outside linebackers to keep contain on Herbert when they pass rush and to make sure they do not lose contain against the run.
We talk a lot about this over the course of the year. For a while there, Marcus Jones was like your second leading tackler, and we were talking about, I don't know if we really like Marcus Jones as the second leading tackler and, you know, those DBs and the big role they're playing on the edge there. Where are you in terms of that? Because Christian Gonzalez has been as physical as anyone could have asked, right? He's been a hitting machine to some degree as
a
cornerback.
That, though, because I like the fact he came in with a reputation for not being that guy, and he's trying to prove to you every single day that he's not that guy.
Right. So you get Robert Spillane back. You know, so you're focusing on the edge runs, but, you know, you're a former middle linebacker. There's nothing to say the middle linebacker can't get to the edge, right? Make a good read and get to the edge and help out over there. You get Spillane back. I do think that's interesting because I'm not sure the Chargers know how good or not good the Patriots run defense is, because I'm not sure we know how good or not good with Spillane and Milton Williams. They won't have Tonga. He's out. So you're not at full strength, but you're closer to what you were at the beginning of the year when we thought it was a real strength.
Closer in the sense of the personnel is out there.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, because they have not played even close to what they started the season out, even close in the last month. So, you know, I'm sure they're going to test that. But Greg Roman, perimeter runs, be leery of that. When it comes to getting after the passer and Justin Herbert, the Chargers are the 31st ranked pass blocking team in the NFL. Herbert's been sacked 56 times.
Yeah,
he's been sacked as many times as we thought that Drake May was going to be on pace for, because he was on pace for at a time, you know, a month into the season, 66 sacks. And I think he's at 48. So he's the offensive line for the Patriots, conversely, has done a hell of a lot better job. I'm just curious, how are you going to create pressure? Because if you blitz him, he's excellent against the blitz. So you got to get pressure on Herbert with four guys rushing. Can they do that? The Christian Barmore, it was the Elijah Ponder sack from last week's game. It was a four-man rush, but they ran two-man games. So basically they stunted, they did things to confuse the offensive line for the Dolphins, and Ponder got his sack. They're going to have to do a lot of stunting. Three-man games, two-man games, you know, on either side. They're going to have to get creative, but the last thing they cannot do, it's like when you're playing Josh Allen, you cannot lose containment on the edges. Remember Josh Allen, Barmore did not contain on a play, and Josh burned him on it. So do not give up the contain on Justin Herbert, and you will help your chances in winning this
game.
So
you don't want to blitz Justin Herbert. You don't think blitz is a big part.
He's actually against the blitz.
Okay.
Yeah. If you do it, don't casino blitz him. Don't send six. You know, if you want to put five into the rush and play single high safety and man underneath, I'm okay with that, but not a lot. He's excellent against the blitz, is all.
Yeah, okay.
Guys, I saw a thing real quick that number one, his rushing prop is crazy high. It's over 30 yards, which means they expect him, because he's such a good runner, to evade pressure and scoot for a couple first downs. He even had a big one against the Texans a few weeks ago. And two, he was tied with one other quarterback for the most touchdown passes under duress this season. That quarterback, Drake May.
Also wanted to note the 56 sacks.
Yeah.
We also need to remember he sat out the season finale against the Broncos.
That's right.
So he really would have gotten sacked like 60 times.
Right.
Because they're the best pass rush in football.
That's
so
right.
He really would have been sacked if he had played in that game 60-plus times the season.
So let's look to the other side of the football. All right, the Pats offense going up against that Chargers defense. I think it's the best matchup of the night. You get two really good units going up against each other. The Patriots offense in most metrics are in top 10. And same thing with the Chargers. This is a very, very good defense. So let's just look at a couple of the indicators that would suggest if the Patriots lose this game, it's probably because Drake May throws an interception. In the three losses so far this year, Drake May has at least thrown an interception and been sacked three or more times. So the offensive line has its work cut out for them, because the L.A. Chargers, I was to say that it was no, LA Chargers. They're ranked fifth in sacks with 45. They are third in third down defense. They're second in interceptions. They're fifth in fewest passing yards, and they're fifth in opposing quarterbacks' completion percentage. So across the board, they don't have a lot of weaknesses. They do everything when it comes to red zone, third down, passing, rushing. They are top 10, if not top 5, in a lot of the categories. The best defense they've played all season
long. Yes, but can I say that about the Patriots' offense? Have we settled in the way they're running the ball of late? Maybe not the totality of the season. Drake May throwing the ball. Yeah. Drake May deep. Drake May short. Yeah. Like, it's kind of a...
There's a lot there.
Rocking a hard place battle.
What a lot of people would tell you is that the game plan for the Patriots is take what they give you. They play 80% zone, okay? 80% zone. So they're basically daring you to take shots down the field. So do we think Drake May can just take what's given to him?
Yes.
Yeah. Check down Charlie, baby. Check down Charlie.
I don't feel like he's overly aggressive. Yeah. Or
that was the question earlier in the year. He can't just take what's he'll take it now.
I think one of the favorite,
and no one's better at teaching him that than Josh.
Absolutely, my buddy. Hey, buddy. I think one of his favorite plays, and certainly one of my favorite plays, and you might be able to tell me what it's called, Ted, but that little where they roll out to the right and it's dragging Hunter Henry, but then he just kind of stops and almost drifts back a little bit, and then Drake just throws back to the hash, and he's wide open, and he picks up 12, 15 yards. It's like Hunter Henry is just, he stops and lets the defense run by and just throw it to me.
It's got the elements of what we used to call, we didn't say it quite like this, but it was similar to this, oh crap screen. Oh crap. Oh crap screen is kind of what he's doing. They're getting you to, he's rolling out to a certain side of the field that you think he's going to throw to, but he throws the opposite field when a tight end was showing like he was going to be blocking the whole time, and then he late releases. Oh, they'll have that in there.
Yeah, I
you'll see that.
And you know, Giardi brought it up,
and it's excellent against teams that have pass rushes that where they pin their airs back because
over-aggressive,
and it slows their ass down.
Take advantage of their speed and their aggression and all those things.
There you go.
And that's, you know, Giardi brought that up, and I know we're around here, we probably don't watch a ton of Chargers games, but this Jesse Minter, this defensive coordinator, head coaching candidate, by all accounts, really smart, creative, going to do a lot. And I said to Fitzy, part of why he can do a lot is the personnel and Derwin James. And Derwin James can blitz, or he can be deep in center
field. Wild card, right?
Yeah, and that allows guys to be more creative when you have players on the field like that.
And absolutely. I told you, he's looking for a new job. He's going to be throwing everything he can at you to confuse you.
Oh, that is right. I'm going to keep an eye on that. Yeah. That idea that part of his interview process starts 8 o'clock Sunday night on tape on the
field.
And
where you see it is when they do things that they shouldn't have in a certain situation, where it's like, did you have to be that aggressive there?
Right.
Did you? Was that a smart call there? You know, kind of, I don't know, a zero blitz against the Giants in the biggest game ever? Do you have to call a zero blitz there? Like,
why'd you pick that one?
Yikes.
No other examples for you?
So, and just to put a bow on kind of the main points here is basically they play a ton of zone, 80%. Josh McDaniels is excellent in coming up with schemes to exploit zone. The guys that you look for in zone, obviously Steph Diggs, very, very good. And then the running backs and the tight ends will be guys that they will try and use in the zone. And I tell you what, if they want to play two high safeties, which they do a lot, I still say take shots. I think Drake May, take your check downs, take your money when you can get it, but don't be afraid to every now and then, if you get a matchup you like, take your shots. Don't let that scare you.
That's my only fear in this entire offensive game plan, is that Drake May gets a little conservative, Fitzy. That he has a little bit of that, you know, not afraid to try to make a play, but fearful of making a mistake. So normally week three, I would have just let go. I would have cocked and rocked and thrown it. And maybe he goes, oh, this is a playoff game. That's a defense that's really good. They got 19 picks. Maybe I should just run for 3 yards and get out of bounds. That's my one fear.
Yeah.
Nah, but don't forget, we talked about this earlier in the week. That same Drake May earlier in the year that played afraid to make the mistakes was still learning the offense. The Drake May that slipped that ball to Pop Douglas against the Bengals in and amongst five defenders, that guy hasn't left anytime soon.
617-779-7937. Let's work in some phone calls. Speaking of West Coast, let's go to Tucker in Venice Beach. What's up, Tucker?
Oh, there we go. Finally. Sheesh. Hi. I was about to hang up. How you guys doing? I have a little bit of an urgent scenario here I need to workshop with the team. So a good buddy of mine, he has a well-documented history of cursed Patriots jerseys. Everyone lines up with a trade, injury, or bad era. He had a Sagan jersey that he got from Marshalls, Jamie Collins right before he got traded, and then he bought Collins again when he came back, and then he got Devlin right before the injury. And then he had a Brady color rush and a Cam Newton jersey. And then he texts our group chat today, and he just got a Drake May jersey.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. Oh, make him no, return no, no. it.
Yeah, return. So you think that's the jinx? Yeah. Can you make him return it?
I mean, it's not a good sign.
No.
We're in shambles.
It's probably Thanks the first call, thing Tucker. I'll think of when
if they lose, if something goes bad.
Great. Tucker, your friend, that son of a – what was he thinking?
Of course.
Tell him to go run by a Ladd McConkey jersey instead.
Seriously.
Well, it's good for him finding a Drake May jersey. They're not exactly easy to find these days in the Fanatics or the Patriots Pro Shop anywhere else. But how are we feeling about Drake May? So we're now 48 hours away. You told me the biggest change in the postseason is the pressure and the feel. And is he starting to tighten up at all?
Yes, a little bit. He is definitely gonna tighten up a little bit. He wouldn't be human if he didn't. Like he's not a stone cold killer just yet.
Are you sure?
Well, you know what? I don't know. Where do you get confidence from? You get confidence from doing something successfully over and over and over again.
Right.
So he's never played in a playoff game in his life. This is the first time.
Big games. He said
no, it's not
ACC title game and whatever else.
ACC? Did he really?
Yeah.
He played an ACC title game
2 years ago.
Oh, they got to it. They just didn't win it.
I don't think so.
Okay, all right. ACC title game. I don't know. NFL playoff game. Not really the same.
But isn't there something to the effect, because he's done this, Fitzy? We have now interviewed him for the entirety of the season. And I feel like every time we ask him one of these questions, are you worried about the weather? Are you worried about your first playoff game? Are you worried about? He's like, nah, I've been playing football a long time. I've done this. He almost doesn't empower the situation to control him. He ignores it.
What do you think, Fitzy? Yeah.
I think it's all part of his DNA, guys. I think it's 100% his makeup. He doesn't let things bother him that much. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't get mad in traffic, if he doesn't. A lot of the things that bother us normal folk, the working class and everybody else, like, these things just don't seem to bother him as much. So our fears of somebody who could be so geeked up because the moment is so big and he knows how many people are watching him and how important his performance is may not actually sort of come to a boil Sunday night. When people tell you, Ted, like, after that first hit, it's just a regular game. Like, if there's anyone who's telling us that right now that I believe most, it's Drake May. Doesn't mean that there won't be a mistake, a sailed pass, or possibly, a scramble that leads to a loaf of bread fumble. But I don't think the moment's going to be too big for him.
I think we just got a question for next week's may or may not. Do you get angry in traffic or do you let it roll off?
Road rage,
may or may not. Excellent.
Put a pin in
there
that.
We go. Real quick, there's evidence that would suggest that he does get bothered. If we can remember his games in which he started where the ball's flying over the guy's head. He's like not even close on little simple passes to the outside.
Yeah. But
those were nerves. That's how I view nerves.
But is that energy or is that anxiety? You know what I mean?
It's the same. There's no difference.
No, but when you're out there. So I'm struggling memory-wise right now. Was Tampa one of those games? What were the games where we've talked about that? And why was he more amped up than normal for those games? And why would that translate? We know why he'd be amped up Sunday night. It's a playoff game. It's the biggest game of his life, right? Why was he amped up in those games?
Well, I feel like the Raiders game was first game of the season.
Yep.
He was a little bit like that.
I'm throwing that one out. It doesn't count.
Steelers game felt like a little bit like it was the ball wasn't going where he wanted to.
Okay. I just made a couple mistakes.
The Browns.
I feel like I'm an excuse maker for
the Browns. they threw a pick six. And
but he didn't let it happen again, and he told him it wouldn't, and it didn't.
Yeah.
He also had a face full of Miles Garrett all game long as well. He got sacked five times by one man.
Well, and that proves the point. If a team can sense Miles Garrett get to him, the Falcons got to him, they still won that game, they still won the Browns game.
Yeah.
you know, so even though he gets rattled early, he's still able to overcome mistakes from being rattled.
I don't expect this game to be without adversity, but I think he will probably deal with it pretty well. 617-779-7937. It's working a couple phone calls. Let's go to Jay in Portland. What's up, Jay?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. Fitzy, I couldn't agree with you more in regards to Drake's DNA. I mean, the guy's the youngest of four brothers. His dad played quarterback at a high level. All of his siblings have played at a high level. I think Brady's sister maybe did that too. He was the youngest of four, but he had three older sisters. Yep. I just think it's very, I don't know. It's just a neat way to look at it because, like you said, this kid does not, he doesn't get floundered at all. He doesn't get flipped at all. You know, nothing changes this guy's mind.
So, thanks for the call, Jay. He doesn't get floundered, flustered, flipped, anything at all. I agree.
Nope.
I agree. Whether that's DNA, whether that's brothers, there's some comparisons. We've talked Brady growing up in that household. We've talked Gronkowski growing up in that household. There is some
There's something to it.
Potential
so have
truth
have at least 3 to 4 kids if you want to have a star athlete.
I think it's too late. I think I'm done in that area. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Andy in Medway. The subject line here, Dan Ball says, sports radio opposition scouts. Okay, Andy, I'm intrigued. What do you got?
Hey, I just had this thought earlier, but thanks for taking my call. I appreciate you guys. I do think you guys are the best in the afternoon, and I hope they keep you guys together for a long time. Anyway, I was just thinking, I wonder if they have, like, nerds locked up somewhere out there just, like, listening to all sports radio around here and clipping, like, all these interviews with, you know, all the different coordinators and whatnot, just trying to get information and how much subterfuge and everything is going on. It's very interesting to me.
All right, thanks for the call, Andy. Yeah, I mean, we learned Brian Hoyer is watching mic'd up segments affecting Super Bowls. Bill Belichick read every clip there was. Every clip.
I mean, you know how he would start his mornings, right?
Yeah. I used to do those clips. I had to put together those
Are you serious?
Great story.
Okay.
I had to be there at like 5 in the morning.
Some people might want to hear this story, us young producers back there. He's on a treadmill every morning, and he got these papers he's flipping.
And he would highlight little quotes.
I thought he ignored the noise.
No. He ingested it and used it.
You're just figuring out that he would say one thing but do another, right? That's kind of Bill's MO.
And he used everything from quotes to if a beat reporter saw a guy put a weird glove on his left hand or something and it made its way to a notebook, Bill would sort of stash that away or tell Ernie, Ernie, what does that mean? Like, they would use in everything.
Yeah, and Bill should have given Hoyer credit on that.
Yeah,
he did
spread that word. We'll talk to Brian about that Tuesday, get a little more info. 617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your phone calls on the other side. We're also going to do something real creative. Never been done before in sports radio or Patriots Football Weekly. We're doing a tale of the tape. We're going to check off the tales of the tape for Patriots Chargers. We might compare it to Jones and Keefe, see if they're homers. They had a lot of green checks on the Patriots side and to a couple others. So tale of the tape, Patriots Chargers up next here on WEE.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yeah, I'm hoping that this Sunday night that you guys have a full day of a Sunday fun day. And you guys are loud with good energy and make it crazy, man. Because I got chills thinking about it. I'm excited for it, and I can't thank the people enough.
All my exes live in Texas, and Texas is a place I dearly love to be.
We heard a piano rendition of this George Strait classic last night. That was after Stiz got mocked by the pianist when he put his first request in as,
"Can you do Billy Joel, the piano man?"
And the guy was like, "Are you serious?
You want me to play that right now, you loser? Did you hear him say that?
Yeah, no, he called me a loser for sure. And you know what's funny? I thought I hit a home run. I'm like, yeah. Oh my God, this is going to be the greatest song.
Who tried to save you from the awkward moment?
Yep, you did.
I told you, I said, don't do that now.
I was Team Stiz. I thought he was going in with a heater, like setting the tone right off the bat.
Yeah. I would think that he probably gets asked that every single time. And
yes.
Like, you're that guy, bro.
Well, and maybe even finishes with it. I don't even know.
Well, that's the thing, Ted. It was a timing thing. He goes, of course I'm going to play piano, man.
Gotcha.
But not at 6 o'clock at night.
Oh, right. You don't come out with your best stuff early.
Exactly, yeah.
I save it for the end. Like, these all-time greats have those few that the end of the show is all about. Yeah. So you leave everybody happy.
Yeah.
And that whole,
yeah.
You play your new music early. Oh, we got a new album. And you're like, I'm going to get a beer. Let me know when you get to the hits.
Well, we're also talking about a work part. He said, you know, I want you guys to be drunker when I play piano, man. We're talking about a work party on a weekday. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I think he could have changed up the lineup.
No, you're right, Dan. You don't lead. Journey doesn't lead with Don't Stop Believing.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, you
get
the classics. Although, now I'm feeling peer pressure. Both Jeremy Springer and the piano guy told me to drink more. So I don't know what to do. And they worked on Dan. Dry January went right down the drain.
Dry first week of January was a lot of fun.
Slightly moist January is now taking hold. All right, go ahead, Ted. Just move on.
I was about to, but I got to get this point out. And I won't say what I was going to say to make this point, but I'm just curious, Stiz, did you close any deals last night? Were you closing deals?
I did not, Ted, but there was a very attractive bartender, though. I will say that.
Yeah, so there's an opportunity that just passed you by right there.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
That's it, buddy. That's it, man.
All right, so as I alluded to, we're going to get very creative here. Dan Ball, we are going to look at the tail of the tape for the Patriots versus the Chargers. So we're going to run through position by position, basically, and kind of comp our answers to what Jones and Keefe and Karen Garigian and Mass Live did, try to come up with a consensus of our own, right?
Yes, correct. So I'll give you the results of both of those from those two fine establishments, and then you guys have to decide, basically, do you agree or do you not agree? So we'll start with the quarterback. Jones and Keefe landed on the New England Patriots. Karen Garigian and Mass Live lands on the Patriots. So do we have a consensus on that one?
I would say Drake May. So,
yep.
Ted, Drake May?
All day, every day, May.
Skip and rip?
Yep,
skip and rip. Fitzy?
Drake May Day, baby.
So very simple, and I think that's surprising. You're looking across at one of the most talented quarterbacks in the league who's got a $250 million contract, but I'll ride with May in this one. Absolutely.
Yeah, you're looking at a guy who's supposed to be a model for who you want Drake May to be, and yet everybody kind of perceives him as already being past him.
He's better.
Yep.
He's already better.
We'll see if that still holds true about 11:45 on the Six Rings postgame show on Sunday night.
The running back position, Jones and Keefe had Patriots. Mass Live also has Patriots. Andy Hart and company, running back.
I am going to say Patriots. Both of these teams are interesting in that they have a young guy who was supposed to be the dude, who wasn't always the dude all year long for various reasons, in Travion Henderson and Amarian Hampton. And then you have Vidal, who has filled in nicely, and Stevenson, who started with the fumbles but ends as the, AFC Offensive Player of the Week most recently. I'm going to say the Patriots are rolling in a better direction as they hit the postseason. So I'll go Patriots. Ted, better running backs?
Oh, are you kidding me? It's the Patriots. And I want to say, not even close, but just to remind people of what Ramondre's done over the last four games. He's averaging 9.6 yards per rush. That's last four games. Not just the last game, last four games. He's first in the NFL in that. Last four games, he is averaging 7.3 yards after contact. That's first in the NFL. Receiving yards for running backs, 131. That's fifth in the NFL. Total touchdowns, 6. That's first in the NFL. And his PFF grade at 91.4 is first of all running backs in the last four games. So that should tell you where I'm leaning.
Wow, it's not even close, Fitzy, right?
No, and especially because of the fact that you have two fully healthy running backs. Hopefully, whatever personal issue excused Travion from practice today is resolved in time for the game on Sunday night with no after effects. But you've got Kamani Vidal as a fine backup, and you got a banged up lead back who's a rookie. I definitely advantage Patriots.
Okay.
To the wide receiver room we go. The advantage from Jones and Keefe was the Chargers. Same could be said for the Mass Live tale of the tape. So, wide receiver room on both sides. Advantage to whom?
So, Keenan Allen's their leading receiver, 81 catches. Ladd McConkey hasn't been as good in year two, but still caught 66 balls. They have three guys with over 700 and whatever, 50 yards receiving, with Quentin Johnston being the third. I think you got to go with the Chargers have the better overall receiving core.
I agree. Okay. I can't get out of my mind what Ladd McConkey did to you last year.
And
it's the same quarterback, the same receiver, same, you know, it's same everything.
And the Matt Collins injury sort of takes a little of the wind out of your wide receiver sails. Like, if he, that might close this gap a little bit if Matt Collins were available. But right now, Fitzy, I got to go Chargers.
I think that is unanimity amongst the hosts of this program. Keenan Allen, man, God, that guy is ageless. To leave when the team says, we think you're done, go to Chicago, have a great year, and come back and be as good as he ever was, it's remarkable. To me, the fascinating thing is, who gets Gonzo, who gets Marcus Jones, who gets Carlton Davis?
Well, just to, wherever they can pick their matchups when they want, because Gonzo stays on the same side all the time.
Right.
So that's
the thing to look at.
Yeah, just where you know, if you want to hunt Carlton Davis, you can.
And I would. Personally, after watching him for 17 games, I would absolutely hunt Carlton Davis. I think he's by far the third best corner on this team.
And we were talking after the show yesterday, you can also hunt, not talent-wise, but a size matchup with Marcus Jones, especially a guy like Quentin Johnson. Keenan Allen's a pretty big dude, far as I can remember, too. So you do have some advantages there. But advantage to the Chargers in the wide receiver room, tight end room. It's a consensus that the Patriots have the advantage there. Yep. Hunter Henry, Austin Hooper. Do we agree on that?
Yeah, I think it's a little closer. Gadsden, who you probably played against his dad, right, back in the day for the Dolphins. But
I sure did. Wow, good. That's right. Absolutely
he was really good earlier, and he's had some big games this year. He had a really bad game a couple weeks ago, drops and just making one, I think, deflected.
No, he tipped a pick to the Texans.
Yeah, and then he had a drop later on like a 30-yard right, hit him in the hand. So he has he looked like a guy that ran out of gas a little bit that isn't as good. And you have Hunter Henry, who just keeps chugging
He's
along.
Been amazing.
Yeah.
Career year this year. Career
Absolutely.
Year.
So I'll go Patriots.
So
there.
Will I.
Tight ends, Patriots.
Easy enough. Offensive line, something that I'm not sure we would have thought would ever be an advantage for the Patriots at the beginning of the year. Both sides agreeing that the Patriots have the edge. Do we agree?
Yeah, I think you have to now. If it was the start of the year, you would have said them with their first-round top 10 pick tackle and, you know, $100 million tackle. But those guys are gone.
You would have said every offensive line was better than the Patriots, because this Patriots offensive line was worse than last year's Patriots offensive line.
Quiet, please. I have a good stat. Okay. We don't need to get back into spilt milk that I screwed up. 25 offensive lines, Ted. That's what the Chargers use.
Different combinations?
25.
That's a lot.
How the hell is that possible?
It's in-game injury. Right.
Yeah.
17 games. So even if you used a totally different line every game, you got to come up with eight more types of lines within game scrambling to cover.
That's 1.5 offensive lines per game, roughly.
I think that's your answer right there. You use 25 offensive lines, my offensive line's better.
Yeah, fair enough. We'll speed this one up for the sake of the segment. Defensive line, advantage where?
I am going to say Patriots on the interior. Are we spreading
what?
This? Yes. D-line and edge. It is divvied up on the edge. The D-line interior, Milton Williams and Christian Barmore, who had the second most pressures in all of football. You have the $190 million tandem in there. I'm saying the Patriots. Ted?
I love all the pressures they got. How many of them led to sacks? Not a lot.
Not many.
You know what, though? Interior? Yes, okay. If we're going interior, I take the Patriots as well, Fitzy.
I think I'm going to go with the Chargers on the line.
Yeah, so that's 2-1.
Between Mac and Tart, like Tart is really good.
But Mac's an edge guy.
Edge. We're talking,
that's the next category.
Okay.
So the edge category will,
a contrarian, edge. I'll stay with the Chargers.
Edge, I'll go Chargers. Absolutely.
So we've landed roughly on interior Patriots, edge rushers, Chargers.
Yes.
How about our biggest advantage on this show, the linebackers?
Ted, I'll let you start. You're the linebacker. You're the expert. Who's the better linebackers?
It's the Chargers.
Okay.
You kidding me?
Yep.
Even with Spillane back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the Chargers.
Yep. Okay. Defensive backs. We can split them up or put them together.
Well, that is key, because if you keep them together.
Let's not split them up. Let's keep them together.
keep them together.
Chargers.
I'm going to go Chargers. If you had split them up, I might have been able to divvy that up a little. But yes, if they're all together, the sum total, those 19 interceptions, Derwin James, everything he can do,
Chargers.
Jefferson, I'm going Chargers. Fitzy?
It could have almost been, no, Andy, I see where you were going. It could have been cornerbacks, Patriots, safeties, Chargers, but the lump sum whole is overall defensive backfield, Chargers.
Absolutely.
Okay, last two, I'll give them to you at the same time, special teams and coaching.
Special teams and coaching all in one or two separate categories, Dan Bowman?
Two separate categories.
Oh, okay. Coaching, Patriots. I'm all in on Josh McDaniels and Mike Vrabel versus Minter, Harbaugh, and Roman.
You know what? It's close.
You're going to turn on your boy?
No. I said it's close.
The closest one yet, Ted.
It's close. But I give the edge because there's too many assistants underneath the coordinators that are excellent on the Patriots staff that I think pushes it toward the Patriots. So I got the Patriots coaching staff, Fitzy.
And the same with that very same point, all the intelligence that goes down from McDaniels all the way through. And on special teams, Andy, I'll just go first. That's Chargers.
Chargers. So you're not ready for the big play from Marcus Jones? Game-changing punt return or something there? You like Dicker the kicker?
Dicker the kicker is pretty good. He was on LA TV this morning saying he can't wait to light someone up this weekend.
Oh boy. Okay.
I'll take the Patriots then. Why is their kicker thinking of lighting people up? I feel like his focus is not
contact,
in the right place.
It's a contact sport.
Dicker's another Vanderjack.
Yep. Dan Ball, pull that all together, please.
Yes, got it. Quarterback, Patriots, running backs, Patriots with the parentheses from Ted. Not even close, ? Wide receiver, Chargers, tight end, Patriots, offensive lineman, Patriots, defensive interior, Patriots, edge, Chargers, linebackers, Chargers, defensive backs, Chargers, special teams, I think we landed on Patriots, and coaching, Patriots. So that is a 7-4 advantage, Patriots, over the Chargers of the 11 categories that we had, and a massive advantage on the offensive side of the football. Looks like the Chargers may have a slight defensive advantage, but 7-4 is an advantage for the Patriots overall.
7-4 advantage, Patriots, and about an hour from now, we'll see if that influences our picks and who we're picking in this big game. But up next, it is indeed a Ferzocco Friday, but we're not talking NBA. Ferzocco's coming in to join the fun about football, the Patriots, the Chargers, and a little birdie told me he's coming at Ted strong. So Ted, Ferzocco Friday is about to come after you, my friend.
Bring it.
You ready? Ferzocco Friday next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Are you out of your mind?
I love when Stiz has to tell me to let it drop on a rejoiner before I...
I saw him give you that, like, one-second finger.
Wait, hold on. Okay, go ahead. WEEI Afternoons, that voice you heard was Brian Ferzocco, our buddy who's usually not really behind the glass to us. He's usually behind glass, concrete wall.
Three levels of
way
glass.
The hell down there, they concrete, in a little closet running the Twitch and all the cameras. But on Fridays, we let him out for a short segment here. Usually we talk NBA. We're not talking JB being a top three MVP candidate
today. By default.
We'll handle that next week, Ted. Save it all for next week, Ted. Okay.
I've never seen Ted just so defensive during a break before, too. Oh, yeah. When you brought it up, he immediately
By default.
So it was quick. I'd like to see how the inner workings happen off the air here. But no, quickly, just this whole week, you know, as you said, I sit back there a couple rooms away, and before I get on, it's almost 19 hours of having to listen to a combination of you three or you and Fitzy. And
brutal.
It weighs on me for sure, but, you know, there's a lot of times where you guys are giving takes, and I'm just sort of sitting back there, and I'm, you know, I can't weigh in. There's enough voices on the show, they don't need to hear mine.
We got to get a camera on you just reacting to our takes. Just a silent film of you reacting.
Just
awesome.
My face. No,
just your face.
No microphone or anything. So I think people are already letting the Patriots off the hook heading into the playoffs. It feels like everyone sort of feels like this season's already, you know, what happens going on is just gravy at this point. This season's been a success. You have your coach of the future. You have your quarterback of the future. And I'm not debating those two things. That much is clear. Vrabel is a great coach. Drake May has proven that he can be an elite quarterback in the NFL. But to me, the idea of, well, you know, it'd be great if they beat the Chargers, but it's, you know, it's not a big deal if they fall short. Or the Bo Nix-led Broncos. Like, to me, I look at the AFC, and everyone's talked about Burrow not being in, Mahomes not being in. Josh Allen's team is, you know, not what it's been in the past few, couple of years. Patrick Mahomes obviously being injured. Like, this is sort of an opportunity for the Patriots. You're a 14-win team. You're the 2 seed. The 2 seed since it's been since they included the 7 seed a couple years ago. They're 9-1.
So Super Bowl or bust. You're joining Stiz in Super Bowl or bust.
I'm sort of
working
leaning
his
that
way,
way.
Going there. He's working his way.
I
there.
Really need to land the plane though.
Okay, all right.
Because everybody tells me Bo Nix kind of sucks. Your guy Sean Payton. You hate Sean Payton. I haven't met anybody who hates Sean Payton as much as you, Andy.
And a lot of people are saying the Broncos are the worst number one seed in can't remember how long. Right. Like they don't even know what the last bad one was.
And if that's the case, then why shouldn't the Patriots be expected to go make a deep playoff run? Why shouldn't they be expected to be the team that comes out of the AFC?
So this is a failure if they lose on Sunday, certainly, and you think could be a failure if they don't even go further.
I think it's undebatable. If they lose Sunday night, it is a failure with a capital F. No doubt about it.
The whole season. Capital F. The whole season, failure. Or just a failure.
Oh, absolutely. Maybe. I think the whole season. I mean, look, if and a lot of people go, well, what did you expect going into this year? Yeah. I thought they would be, if not a playoff team, they'd be around 9-10 wins. Mm-hmm. So could you make the argument, well, you know, at the beginning of the year? Well, expectations have changed since then. You're a 14-win team. You're hosting a team flying across the country. We've gone over all the stats about dome teams playing outdoors. Yep. Like, we've been through all that. Their quarterback's playing with a broken hand. You might hate Jim Harbaugh even more than you hate Sean Payton. Mm-hmm. Like, what about this Chargers team scared? Both of their tackles are out. I mean, we've been through all of this throughout the week. Like, to me, if you lose on Sunday, it's a complete failure. And I think, you know, if you don't beat, assuming Jacksonville wins or Pittsburgh wins, if you don't beat one of those two teams and make it to the AFC Championship game, I think you could argue that's a failure as well. Mm-hmm. You should be the best team in the AFC. If your quarterback's the MVP, like everybody tells me, if your coach should be the coach of the year, like everybody tells me, you should be a Super Bowl contender.
So I don't totally disagree with the narrative, but my question would be, why are they only a 3-point favorite at home against this?
Because we haven't seen Drake May in the playoffs. And that's why I think they should be more than a 3.5-point favorite, if you ask me. But I think that's why the odds are set at that time.
I think a 3-point being favored is a pretty good tip of the cap to you. I don't think it's disrespectful.
2 seed versus 7 seed, 14 wins versus banged up 11 win team,
home team
in a cold, snowy Foxborough.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, that's I mean, they say you get 3 points just for being at home.
The oil in your fly or the fly in the ointment thing. It's more about 2 points. It's really changed to 2 points home advantage.
Okay,
it's not that it doesn't have the same advantage that it used to.
And I saw the other day the Super Bowl odds, and they were 6th on the list of Super
Bowl
odds.
The Patriots?
Yeah. And so why is that for Zocco? If this is a failure without a victory on Sunday, they should be in the Super Bowl. Why does Vegas think they're so far down the odds?
I still think it's because people haven't seen Drake May in the playoffs, and they haven't seen much of this Patriots team in the playoffs in a while, right? Yeah. This is a completely different Patriots team that was in the playoffs with Mac Jones a few years ago, and certainly a different team than when they had Brady. And you can even look at Mike Vrabel, right? As much as you hate Sean Payton, he has won a Super Bowl, right? You can say it's because he was with Drew Brees and had a good team, whatever.
Yep.
Vrabel hasn't gotten to that point yet. Now, I don't necessarily blame him. His quarterback has been Ryan Tannehill most of his coaching career. But even still, not a lot of players on this team have won a Super Bowl. Not a lot of, McDaniels obviously has, but Mike Vrabel has never gotten to that spot before. And we haven't even seen Drake May play a playoff game. I think they're kind of just covering their asses a little bit because they're like, well, we just don't know yet, right? They've only beaten bad teams, save for the one team with a winning record that they beat. So I think the odds makers are looking at that and just trying to cover their ass and say, well, we haven't seen them yet, so let's wait it out.
I side with Frizoco.
Okay.
I think this season's a failure if you don't win this game.
So Super Bowl or bust for Stiz.
I want to say small F, but
Ted Johnson's got a small F. Frizoco's got a big F. It's a failure if the Patriots do not win Sunday night against the Chargers.
Got about 8 this season, man.
A lot of pressure for Mike Vrabel, Drake May, in their first playoff appearance together. Up next here, thank you, Frizoco.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks,
excellent stuff. Now
go back to your closet. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it is time for the drive. Biggest advantage for the Patriots, biggest advantage for the Chargers. Final thoughts on the matchup, the breakdown we'll get from Springer. He wants you, the listener, the fan, to be involved on Sunday, and he has a full day of activities for you to partake in to get ready for the big game. The drive is up next here on WEEI.